God is good. Let's turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, written to the Hebrews, the Jewish people. This particular book was written either by Paul or someone else, but probably by Paul. But its message starts out, and I don't want to lose how it begins. In the first chapter, he says, God has spoken. And that's how everything starts. Remember, God created the world with speaking, said something. And it doesn't start out with me hearing something. It starts out with God setting something. So unless he said, we can't hear. And so God is our authority. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our all in all. And he said something. And on the left hand, on God's left hand over here, God said, behave yourself. But on the right hand, he said, if you don't, then I'll behave myself for you. So God said, here's a command to you, but if for some reason you don't do that, and you don't obey my commands, and you're not in absolute perfect order with me, if you're not shalom with me, if you're not lined up perfectly in the order that I've set up, if you are somehow rebellious, if you are somehow turned to your own way, if you're like those sheep that have gone astray, if some reason you find yourself, and you know it, you see it, that you're not rightly lined up with me on my right hand, but instead, you've gone to my left hand. If that's the case, and you heard that word, but you didn't hear this word, then you need to live by every word. You need to find out which word is first, which word is second. And actually, the gospel is before the law. He spoke to Abraham long before he spoke to Moses, and spoke to Jesus then in line with Abraham, because Abraham saw my day, saith Jesus. So the right hand is better than the left hand. The left hand is really an angelic type hand where they reinforce the law. So, you know, that's how Moses heard it, through an angel. And so angels are over here on the servant side of things, telling you to be a servant in the house. Well, that's a pooey one, because I can't, as a servant, ever do enough to earn enough to get in, become a son. But on the right hand, you don't have to do that. It's a free gift. And so he's reached down to us dirt people, made out of the dirt, out of the soil, out of the land, out of the earth. Earthy people. Angels are not earthy. Angels are much more fluffy, nicer. But we are dirt people, way on the bottom of a totem pole. And for some reason, God made another word that said, I want to save people on the right hand over here. I'm not interested in saving Satan and his angels, but I'm interested in saving people. Poor Satan. How many feel bad for Satan? No, he's out of order. And, you know, he's not a dumbbell like us, kind of, you know, play, you know, learning as we go. He knew exactly what he was doing. Is, you know, I'm ticked off that God would ever love Jim. That really ticks me. I don't like it that I was a fluffy, nice, light-bearing angel, and then God chose Jim Borchert, Peggy. That stinks. And he rebelled. He didn't like it that I would be in fourth place and then run up to third place. So he said, Jesus, go down and tell Jim I still love him, because Satan doesn't like it. He's ticked off at him. He's in a competition with me. He was trying to stay in third place, but I got third place now, and he's in fourth place. I just bumped him. Amen?
Amen.
I don't even deserve it. I never did an angel thing. I was never that worthwhile. But you know, there's a lot of believers that want to build on this side of God's word, where the angels are out here. You know, they're telling you all about, you know, hey, the law that we delivered, Moses, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because even though Moses met with God, he actually met with the presence of God, which are angelic. Y'all see that? And so he didn't actually see God. No man has ever seen God face to face. He didn't see him. We haven't seen God. None of us has ever seen God. We heard him with the hearing of our ears. And, you know, I heard that there was another word, Jesus, on the right hand. He wanted to build me on the right hand. That's where his girl is going to be. That's where his queen is going to sit on the throne. Me. I mean, I don't even belong there. But he said, no, you do. I'm choosing you, even though you're worthless, even though you have no value whatsoever. You're just a piece of dirt. I created you out of nothing. But even so, I've taken a liking to you. Now, that is crazy on God's part. Under the law, I don't qualify, but under the gospel, I do. I like the gospel. That's the good news to me. It's not good news to an angel. Satan certainly didn't think that was good news. But two-thirds of the angels, they like me being in third place. They don't mind at all because they're servants. And they stayed in order. They stayed in their place. They didn't leave their office. They didn't leave what God gave them. They weren't griping and complaining about it. They fit in. So two-thirds of the angel did not rebel. So that means heaven is loaded with two-thirds, and only one-third are rebellious. That's kind of interesting. But mankind, all have sinned. Amen. All. That's certainly me. I say amen to that. I agree. On the left hand, I'm finished. No hope. I'm not gonna build a church over here on legalism or on law or on trying to behave myself. I'm gonna build one here where Jesus behaves himself. I like that one better. He just picks me out. You just say, Jim, I've looked around and you're the one I'm looking for. Now he's also looking for you, but I don't care about you, I care about me. I want to find out if I'm in. I just want to make sure I'm in. Is anybody else just selfish like that? Well, how does that apply to me? How does that relate to me? Because I'm not naturally altruistic, caring about everybody else. Now that I'm in, let some others in. Okay, open that door. Noah had that door shut on the boat so he couldn't get in. After he got in, he couldn't get in anymore. But, now, as Christians, we can let people in. Hey, come on in. Anybody get in.
Praise the Lord.
Because this is a right-handed deal. There is no judgment. There is no flooding. There's no fire. There's no nothing that's going to hurt us. Fires help us. Floods help us. Troubles help us. Satan helps us. You should thank Satan. Thank you. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. He's a great enemy. I don't know if you've ever had a bad enemy, but this one's a good one. He's a worthy foe. And he's trying to tell me, Jim, you're not going to make it over here. I just laughed because I heard that he thought I was supposed to be over here. He's lying to me. I'm not supposed to be over here. That was Jesus. You talk to Jesus. Don't talk to me. I'm not over here. I don't want to be over here. I'll be over here. This is me. Me. M-E. Me.
So. Tell where here is because tape blamed you.
Put the tape? Oh, yeah. Tape people. I've drawn a picture up here of a cornerstone with Jesus as the cornerstone. And he has all the holiness. I mean, he can keep the law easily because he is the law. He's the end of the law. Whatever the law wanted, Jesus is. I mean, that's a piece of cake for him to do trigonometry in his head. But for a little kid like me, I don't know. What's that trigonometry stuff? A bunch of things. I don't. But Jesus knows that right off. So it's easy for his capacity is better than mine when it comes to keeping the law. As a matter of fact, I've never kept the law. And worse than that, I've never cared. That's even worse. Where I did bad and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing bad. I enjoyed hurting people. Has anybody ever hurt somebody and you enjoyed it? You actually got a thrill out of it. You kick out of it. I like getting pegged too. I really do. I like trapping her and getting her. And I do. It's just mean and nasty of you, but I like it. And, I don't care that I'm inferior or superior or whatever. I just do what I do. Well, how would Jesus like me? Why would he like me? Well, it's not even me. I count that me as dead. That me that's mean and nasty like that, I don't even count that as me because he doesn't count it. I don't count what he doesn't count.
Praise the Lord.
He counts me on the right hand. Jim, my beloved. Woo! And I'm so busy, so excited, thanking him for that, that I end up loving Peggy without even knowing it. I didn't even know I did. You know, and I get credit for that too, extra. It's like too good to be true. If God could love me, he could love anybody here. Now, how many are better than I am here? How many are better than I am? Oh, come on. I know what you really think. Don't lie. How many are actually, thank God I'm not married to him? Oh, how many thought that? You know, because how many are equal to me? I mean, you're just exactly like I am. Oh, my God. Well, almost everybody. Now, how many are worse than I am? Thank you, Jesus. I want that for my church right there. I want that group. Because I could boast, you see. But when Jesus puts you on the right hand, you'll never be on the left hand. You see, he actually redeems you, pulls you out of, because he who's on the left hand as well as the right hand, in other words, he can keep the law easily. And he does it voluntarily. He doesn't even come under the law to keep the law. His position is under, but actually his heart, he just does it voluntarily. Because he just does it because of the gospel. In fact, when you keep the gospel right hand, you actually kept the gospel, or the bad news left hand. You kept everything. You did everything God wanted. So you don't have to even worry about this anymore. It's a done deal. Jesus finished that off. But he was there. And he said, you know, I am the end of the law. So I did that for Jim. I did that for Sally. I did that for, you know, whoever, Gertrude. I did that so that they could be over here. I would give it as a free gift because I was going to get a reward for that. I just gave it to them. So now, everybody here, you've been restored not to your Adamic nature. You've been restored to God's original intention. See the difference between being restored to, you know, the way Adam was before the fall. I don't want to be restored the way Adam was before the fall. I want to be restored to the way God intended originally. Because I like the idea that it was always God's will, even when Adam hadn't sinned yet. It was always God's will to give me the right hand of fellowship. It was always his will that I inherit the kingdom of God. I tell you, that is so amazing, Pam. That God always wanted me to get everything. It's mind-blowing. Does anybody else know that? That it's always been God's will to give you everything. I mean, that has always been his will. He's never thought, I think I'll give Jim a little bit less. I'll give him what he deserves. He never thought that. God has always thought, I want to give everything to anybody who'll take it. Wow. Wow. Whosoever will. If you want to.
Hallelujah.
I don't deserve it, but I want to take it anyway. I don't deserve it, but I want to take it. You cannot get in by earning it. If somebody here was good, you go to hell. If you were good, you go to hell. Because he's not going to accept your kind of good. He defines good. And the way he defines it is, you got to believe me on the right hand instead of obeying me on the left hand. You have to do it the way I say. God, that's ridiculous. You gave this word over here. Well, how come we don't have to keep it? Why would you give a word we didn't have to keep? So, I could put Jesus there in your stead, forgive you, and then come over here and give you a free gift. That's why I just wanted to show you how great I am, how good I am, how awesome I am. But I wanted you to know so you'd always be grateful and you'd never be proud. I wanted you to know that you didn't deserve it. I wanted you to know that. I tell you, that's the greatest thing to learn in life. The greatest thing to learn is what a worthless person you are. Has anybody learned that here?
Yeah.
You are a miserable, rotten, vain, evil, shallow, boring person. Has anybody learned that?
Yes.
I mean, I know nobody likes to hear that in this town. Everybody likes to hear how righteous as a Christ you are and all that kind of good stuff. I like to hear how rotten I am and worthless and evil and nasty. Because every once in a while that comes out and people notice that. I mean, Peggy particularly notices that. And she just has stopped worshiping me. She just won't because of the way I behave sometimes. Think and feel. You all see that? I mean, I expect worship out of her, but I don't get it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll be waiting a long time for that.
Right.
I always thought it'd be great being married to me. Did anybody ever think that when you got married? Yeah, I'd be awesome to be married. How foolish you are. No, nothing. But who wants to get up right now? Just give a little testimony on how evil I am. I am pure evil. I am pure hypocrite, liar, shallow, worthless, vain, absolutely nothing. Go ahead, tell them.
Have to do this by example. This is just one of the things that comes to mind is I was supposed to meet a friend for lunch, and I was running late and I was running behind, so I'm trying to bob and weave through traffic, and I'm cursing everyone who's in my way. It's like, all these people getting mad, getting all angry, right? And at the same time thinking, oh man, I feel so sorry that I'm late. I feel so sorry that I'm late. I hope he can forgive me. I hope he can forgive me. So I pull up, rush in the door, and he's not there yet. I'm like, that jerk. Why is he late?
Exactly.
I just bounce from one end of wretched to the other end of wretched, and then I'm proud of my wretchedness, and then I'm happy that I get to repent, and then the Lord corrects me.
And
I'm pretty much just an evil, wretched mess, but I'm very happy that God loves people like that. So.
Good example. That's good.
Right.
That's
good.
All right. Now, relax. It's not your will to go to heaven, it's His. You didn't choose him. He chose you.
Praise God.
He's not waiting for you to be sincere. You're not. Okay, let's have somebody stand up and say, I'm not sincere.
I'm not sincere.
You don't have to be. You can't be. God is. You're not. Sincere means without wax. In other words, they used to break a pot and it was so valuable, you know, a Ming vase or something. And then they would put wax in it and then sell it as though it was pure. And they could do such a good job that you couldn't tell that it was cracked or broken. But you are a crack pot. See? Say it, I'm a crack pot.
I'm a crack pot.
Now, because of that, you're not sincere without wax. Sans, in French, is the same as sun, sin, in Latin. So, without wax. Sincere. Now, you don't have to be sincere because Jesus is. I don't trust people that are sincere. You know, I don't trust them because they're liars. They're faking. They're hiding behind. They have some nasty that they're hiding behind to pretend like they aren't cracked so they can judge me. I can't imagine why someone would want to look down on me and despise me just because I'm worthless, evil, vain, shallow. I don't know why people would want to pick on me like that. Do you enjoy it when people pick on you and despise you and ignore you and forget you and blow you off? That, I'll tell you, that is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. When people actually know who you are and just throw you off as worthless. That is so accurate. In my case, that is, you know, I admire people that judge me and despise me and just look, see right through me. I admire that. I think you're clever. Because I tried to hide that. I put a lot of wax out there. Just tried to look like I was the real thing. But I've always been a hypocrite, a liar, a fake, a phony, and so on. Con artist. Is anybody else bad as me?
Amen.
Alex?
Really?
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I feel good now. And you know, it does your heart good to say that. I'm a liar. Now, there's a Bible verse for it. Let God be true and every man a liar. I mean, I don't know. That sounds right to me. Sounds right to me. As far as the left hand goes, you've always been a liar. You've never told the truth, not even one time. Amen? Because you define sin. You define sin. Uh-uh. You don't get to define sin. God defines it. And he said, all of sin. This wipes out the whole of humanity. All of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, you didn't pay attention to what the left hand says. Be perfect. Exactly in the same way as I am God perfect. That's what God said. Be perfect as I'm perfect. Now, is there anybody here that is? Because you have to be not only after birth, but even the 9 months before in the womb. You can't even sin there. Oh my God. You know, you just, and if you just sin one time, if you just have one crack, if your new car has one scratch, it's no longer new. It's no longer good. You have to buy at a discount now. So you have to write as is. You know, you're no longer just one little mistake, one second of one moment. let's say you judge somebody that was apparently worse than you. Well, you have to go to hell. Even though you think you're better, you go to hell because you thought you were better.
Amen.
Now, see, that's a sin. God calls that a sin. Or, you know, if you ever got anxious. Anxious? Okay, go to hell. Okay, I was just feeling sorry for myself for a few minutes. Go to hell. God, it's so bad of God that he will not accept anything but absolute perfect for heaven. You're down here going through a little test thing, and if you're absolutely perfect, then you go to heaven, left hand. But if you're absolutely not perfect, and you've made even the smallest sin, hardly worth noticing, you still have to go to hell. So, the only way you can get to heaven is this other way. That's why I like this face of the block. I like to be built right onto that one. Slam me right up against that one. And then glue me in really, really tight. Now, it takes a while for the graft. It takes a while for the brick to grow into each other. But he's a living stone. So just Jesus can reach out and live right inside of him until you're one. That's a marriage. Did you know that you're already betrothed to Jesus? You're already his betrothed. You're already his wife. A betrothed for Jewish people is not like we do it. We do it like we're engaged. That means I can still get out of it. But not in the Jewish deal. In the Jewish deal, Mary is married to Joseph. Wife. Just haven't slept together. That's all. They have not been, you know, intimate with each other. That's all. They haven't born any children yet. That's all. You see, it isn't the works you do, the children, the seed, the fruit that comes out. That's not what proves you're a Christian. It's whether Jesus has chosen you over here and not over here. You're rejected over here, but you're chosen over here. So you can be one of these if you want, or you can be one of these if you want. You have to make a decision. But if you didn't know there was one of these and you only knew that it was one of these, which most people don't know, if you only know this, because a lot of people call themselves Christians, but they're actually legalists. They're actually legalists. And so even though they call themselves Christians, they still believe they have to behave themselves or they'll go to hell. Oh my gosh. That would not be good news. Because I misbehaved before I was a Christian. And then I misbehaved after I was a Christian. And I misbehaved probably within the last 30 seconds. I probably did. I know I did. Somebody will just sneak up on me. I'm about to do something good and then a bad will come right in there. And I'll just do a bad. Have you ever been proud of yourself? Does anybody here have pride? Pride, that's a good one. Thank God I'm not like other men. You ever kind of thought that. Or envy. Has anybody ever envied someone else? Wow, I wish I had that. You know, or fear. Has anyone ever had fear? When he said fear not?
Yes.
That you were afraid?
Yeah.
It says don't.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be afraid. That makes me scared right there. Has anybody ever had lust? You're not allowed to lust after anything. Desire. God, don't have one of those as a Christian. How can you be a Christian if you lust it? It's terrible. You go to hell straight. They put a big A on you, too. You know, or something. Look, what other sin can I think of? Let me see, I'm running out of sins. Can I think of another sin?
Hatred.
Hatred. Anger. Bitterness. Jealousy. Man, that's a whole bunch of them. They're just coming to flood me.
Wrath.
Lying. You know, rage. Lying. So, there are so many sins, I think there's over 12. I think there's more than the 10 commandments. I think there's 12 or more. There's so many sins that it's hard to run out. Yeah, you can actually do two at once sometimes, or even three.
Exactly.
I've known that somebody had three sins all together. Yeah. So it was pride. Somebody was pride, full of fear, and angry all at the same time.
Exactly. Amazing.
Self-pity.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone here ever had that? Mm-hmm. Jeez, why is that happening to me? You know, God, give me a break. You know, I deserve better. Yeah, I didn't. I don't deserve what that person gave me. Has anyone ever thought that? That's wrong. It's not fair. I don't like that. Has anybody ever felt like that? Do you have to go to hell? Okay, you're in hell. Okay, that's it. So, this is for sinners. Over here is if you mess up over here, plan B is forget plan A. I did plan A for you. I did it for you. Now I'll do it in you. Then I'll do it through you. I'll do it all. That's a good plan right there. I like that plan. Because Jesus Christ is now your life. He is your life. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Amen. So he's your life. He's now your life. Your life is not yours. Your life is what he says it is. It's him. Him is your life. That's why he came down to show you your life. This is your life. This is your life. Here I am. I'm your life. So he died for all your sins. Woohoo! So is anybody here happy? Because it's a sin not to be, by the way.
Yep.
You have to be radiantly happy. You have to be so happy that you're almost coming out of your skin. You can hardly contain it. Okay, let's have somebody just let out a big yahoo because you're so excited.
Woo!
All right. That's good. That's good. You have to be happy. I'm telling you, you are not allowed in heaven to be miserable.
Thank you, Jesus.
They don't even have a corner up there for miserable people.
Oh,
you're out. You have to be happy all the time.
Amen.
Joy unspeakable. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Oh, no scripture. All the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. All your ways. At all times. Happy, happy, happy. Sleeping, waking, you know, with friends, with enemies, wherever you are, happy. With Obamacare, without Obamacare. It doesn't matter what. You have to be happy.
Hallelujah.
With the president you have, with the mayor you have, with the governor you have, with all the unfairness that everyone has, you have to be happy in this real world. Don't fix this world up to be happy. Leave it. Leave it just the way it is. Now, how many are looking for a perfect church? I mean, one better than the bad church you came from. You will not be happy here. This is not that church. This is worse than the church you came from. The one where you thought, let's go to a real church where they love you. Nobody here loves anybody. They don't love you. You're not going to be loved. Amen? You're not. If you happen to get loved, it'll be a miracle. It would be a miracle. God would have to kill somebody in here for them to get some love to you. But of course, you know, that's, he likes to do that. So he gets you so hung up on his love to you that you just find yourself loving sometimes, but you didn't do it, and you don't take any credit for it. That was just Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was just Christ in you. So Christ in you loves right now, and if God says you're already married to him, even though you haven't seen it, you haven't experienced it, If Christ says you're already married, then you're already married. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So that new creation is anybody that's over here. You're already born of God. You're being discipled right now of God. And someday you'll be walking in love and, you know, led by the Spirit and all that stuff. And you'll see it. And when you see it, you will never see it completely in this world. You're never going to see yourself as improved. You're never going to see it. You just get a glimpse every once in a while. Wow, that's me. That's me. And the way you get that, it's real easy to get it. All you got to do is keep your eyes on Jesus and don't keep looking at yourself looking at yourself. You know, don't look at yourself. Look at Jesus. Don't look at yourself looking at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus and I'm amazed that I'm looking at Jesus. That is so funny. You can't look at yourself looking at Jesus. You just look at Jesus. So stop all psychology. Psychology is witchcraft. Don't do it. Did you all hear what I just said? I just demolished the world. I totally demolished the modern world. I demolished SMU. I demolished, you know, the whole presidency. I demolished everything about the modern world. I just destroyed it. Now, in case I didn't finish it off, psychology is not only witchcraft, so is sociology. You know, studying all about how to put people together and all that kind of nonsense. Social psychology. It's all witchcraft. There's no such thing in the Bible. It just says all of sin. So psychology is sin. So say it. Psychology is sin.
Psychology is sin.
I will never be psychological.
I'll
never look at my belly button again. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's left-handed garbage stuff. I understand the world. They're into that. That's okay. I'm not judging them for that. Let them do what they want to do. But I'm free from it. I don't believe in psychology. I'm going to go to, you know, SMU, and I'm going to take psychology so I can be a Christian psychologist. You'd be a witch. You're a Satanist. You're a worshiper of Satan. No, I'm not joking. That stuff stinks. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. If that's true, we regard no one from now on from a human point of view. You're a humanist. It's a human thing. That's evil. Don't do it. So I just, if anybody's involved in psychology, drop it. It's garbage. Waste. Well, Pastor, I know, but they do some good. They helped a friend of mine. Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. Could I see your friend? Well, they helped you to cope so you could hide your sin better? Is that what you mean? Well, what kind of tricks did they teach you? Well, you know, she has 14 personalities. Oh, how interesting. Which one are you dealing with? You know, does she switch them? Y'all see that? I remember arguing with the professor when I was in college. Now, in the psychology book, it says Eve had three faces. I've discovered, this is the truth, I've discovered 17. And so I went and told the professor. He gave me a D. No, he didn't like it at all. So I knew right away, this man has no imagination, is an idiot. All he can see is what someone else said. And he couldn't imagine, like I am, full of imagination. So I went to the dean of the school. I told him, well, so-and-so, one of your professors, they said that Eve had three faces. I pointed out how she had 17 at least. And probably if I thought about it, I could come up with 100 more. I could come up with the idea that people have all kinds of personalities all over the place. And the dean of the school said, close the door. I said, oh, boy. You know, that's it. And he said, I agree with you. Wow! That was incredible. And he said, now, I'm the philosophy professor of this school. I want you to start taking philosophy. Another form of witchcraft. And so I became, you know, I was the student of students. It was incredible. You know, I loved it from the beginning. I just thought, oh wow, this is awesome. You can deal with epistemology and ontology and axiology and, you know, all these big words and stuff. And I was great. I just loved all of that stuff. And I became the top of the top of the top right off the bat. I'd never read a book in my life, ever. I never read a book. I always cheated, lied, do all kinds of things to get my good grades. I always had good grades because I cheated. That was a good cheater. Very good. But all of a sudden I decided I would start learning. Try to get it down. Cheater, because I'm Jacob, Jim.
Right.
Jim, Jacob. Hebrew, that means cheater. Yaakov. Now God used all that to redeem me. You know, the more you imbibe in this world, the more sorrowful you're going to become. The more you learn, the more sorrow. The Bible says that. The Bible says that with knowledge cometh sorrow. Isn't that funny? And yet, I never lost my sense of humor. Because I always realized it's just a game. It's absolutely a game. A word game. And that was one of the philosophies was, you know, linguistic analysis. And so I became an expert in that too. Because I just love gobbling up all those tools that are absolutely worthless. Did you know the Bible sums up philosophy like this? Philosophy is vain deceit. There it is. I have 2 degrees in it. I have 2 degrees in vain deceit. So don't go to school. Most school is just worthless stuff. Now, had I gone to school, if I were to go to school today instead of going degree after degree after degree, I'd just get a couple of languages, learn about that, and skip everything else. Because all the other stuff is man-made stuff. At least, you know, a verb is still a verb. And a Hebrew verb is, you know, if you study the scripture, you know, I can read all of this in Greek. I can read it to you because I like to study that stuff, the syntax, the, you know, all of the, you know, how the verb is a verbal noun. or whatever. I love that kind of stuff, but who do I talk to? Nobody. I can't talk to anybody. I don't have anyone to talk to, Peg. This is a verbal noun.
Which is a gerund.
And it's a gerund. Why would I want to talk to Peg? You know, it's
a gerund.
Actually, she's cool. All right. Dia tutu dei perisoteros. On account of this, it behooves more abundantly us, hemas, to give heed, prosekein, to the things heard, akuthesin. All right. So, what you've heard in the first chapter, remember God speaks in various ways in the Old Testament through prophets, angels, prophets, okay? Now, in these last days, he's spoken to us through a son. So he spoke us this way, Old Testament. Old Testament's all here. Old Testament. New Testament's all here. But of course, he even spoke this way in the Old Testament to the men of faith. And they're listed in this book, Hebrews 11th chapter. It tells us all about the heroes of the faith. But Abraham had faith. He was the father of faith. So that meant he was not a works guy. If he did a good work, he didn't count it. Because he knew, hey, you don't count works. The only thing that God counts is faith. So he built his house, his city, on a foundation. Remember it said he was looking for a city with foundations? That meant he couldn't find it among the Ur people. Couldn't find it in the land of Ur, Mesopotamia. Couldn't find it in Iraq, Iran area. He couldn't find it, so he went to another land where God directed him, said, I'm looking for a city with foundation. In other words, justification by faith. In other words, our doctrine, the salt, that you are the salt of the earth, salt. That salt is to convict the world of sin, that everything they're building on is the wrong foundation. Everything in us as Christians is to expose the rest of the world as foolish, ignorant, evil, and vain. And absurd. Stupid. And ignorant. So everything the world does is wrong. It's on the wrong foundation. You can't build a city here, and yet everything in the United States today is built on that foolishness too. Everything in Texas is, you know, we're still wrestling here in Texas whether we're going to say, yahoo, or whether we're going to join the UN, you know, Agenda 21 sustainable development business. You're already in it. Everything in Dallas is already totally governed, not by the Constitution, but you're already totally governed by a foreign entity. So you're completely paying tribute to a foreigner, and you don't even know it. You're not even aware of it. You're just aware that something's not right, but you don't know how to fix it because you don't know what's wrong. You don't even know where you are. Where are you, Adam? And Adam didn't know where he was. So you can't be over here. That's the wrong place to be. You got to be over here. This is the place. This is the order. This is God's order. This is out of order. When you're out of order, you're out of order. If you're still under guilt, you're out of order. If you're under fear, you're out of order. If you're under lust, you're out of order. You have to be in order. Perfect. That's me, right there. Me, perfect. I love it. Because God picked me and I'm picking him, picking me. Hey, God, I'm going along with your program where I get the kingdom for no reason at all. I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Yeah, I approve of that. I approve. I approve of your approval. So, is anybody as happy as I am?
Yep.
You know, I'm not worried about what I look like or feel like or talk like or walk like or psychological or sociological or, you know, UN. Or I don't care about all that. I don't care about anybody or anything. I don't have any care. I have no care. I'm careless. Carefree. Y'all see that?
Woo!
Woo! Y'all have that? Where you're just free? I mean, there's nobody to stop you. There are no lines to get outside of. You can color any way you want to, on the table, on the wall, you know. You can just color.
Hallelujah.
Y'all see that? This is not lawlessness. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to redefine the word. This is not lawlessness. It is no law at all. Because I follow the law of faith, which is a different kind of logic. Over here, sinners get saved. Over here, saints get saved if you were one. Of course, nobody qualifies. There's nobody that's a saint over there. No man. All have sinned. All. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that means nobody's ever been a perfect child. Has anybody here been a parent and you had a child? Well, you didn't get a perfect one. That's because the man you married wasn't perfect. Did you all see that? So do you guys have any kids? Where are they? Right behind you. Well, they're not perfect. And that's because you married an imperfect man. And that's because you were foolish and you were imperfect yourself to pick an imperfect man. So you got two imperfect kids.
I never lied to her that I was imperfect.
Oh, you never did?
Good.
That's good. Is there anybody else here that got married ever?
That made him better.
That made him better?
Yeah.
Virtuous.
Yeah.
Stop comparing yourselves one to another. Why? Because that isn't the measure. You're not going to be graded on a bell-shaped curve. I'm better than you are. Did you ever have that when you were a little kid? How many had that when you were a little kid? I don't even know if they use the same tune anymore.
Yeah, they do.
I thought it was cool. I'm better than you are. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I didn't do it. You know, that's the way we talked when we were little kids. That was the ultimate. If you could swear on a stack of Bibles, I swear on a double stack of Bibles. That was the way you argued when you were really right. You see, God doesn't want you to be perfect. How can you be perfect when He alone is perfect? Only God is good. No one else is good. None else is good but God. Only God is good. So if God is good, and only God is good, and no one else is good, none is good but God. I mean, that's so clear to me. That's so clear, and that just sounds like something you say amen to. That is not good that I recognize that. That's just bad. I recognize how bad I am, how worthless I am. Somebody here just stand up and say, I'm worthless.
Okay.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. That's not what I meant. Yeah. All right, no more humor like that.
I got my answer.
Right. She's back on the front.
Y'all
row.
Wanted to hear Peggy, you know, give a sermon someday. Just gave it. Awful.
That'd be...
Not at all what I paid her for. Who else? Who else has say I'm worthless? I mean, you are worthless.
I am worthless.
Yeah?
I'm worthless.
You are? Praise God. That's good. Yeah?
I am worthless.
Amen. Apart from me, you can do nothing, because you are nothing, and you have nothing. You don't understand. That's not the way God looks at life like you look at it. He looks at life differently. If you don't do the right thing, you don't even exist. You think you exist, but you don't, because you're fooled by time and space in this little moment here that you have, that you imagine you're somebody, but you're not. You only are if you're lined up with Him. And the moment you become lined up with Him, you are eternally true. For the first time. So you can't line up over here eternal. You can only line up here. This is the only way you can line up here with God, your cornerstone, your Savior, your Lord. The Savior puts you to Him and you believe. And then your Lord glues you so tight that the love pours out of you and you find yourself doing things you could not do. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can do all things. You see, what's common there is the Him. Apart from me, Jesus said, you, me, can do nothing. But in me, not you, but you and me. Not you, but me and you, you and me. You united to me, grafted in so that we're one, you can do all things.
Amen.
Because of Him. So His capacity is your capacity. Remember, our identity creates our capacity and determines our destiny. Why? Because you can't do anything and you're not going to go anywhere unless you do all things. Well, how can you do that? Well, you don't have to do it because it's already been done because Jesus did it. and your life is hid with God in Christ. And when you come before the throne someday, you become, you know, to the judge of the universe to judge you. He will say, how do you plead? And you'll say, innocent. Because you're not talking about you. You're talking about real you. Christ in you, you. You in Christ, you. You're talking about Jesus. So your lawyer happens to be your husband, which in any other court could be thrown out, but not in this one. And actually, husbands can actually do that with wives, by the way. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that Jesus has never lost a case because he's dealing with a judge who happens to be his dad. That's his father. And it's his father's will. He assigned him to me. Jim, you're going to need a good lawyer when you come before me. So I'd take Jesus if I were you. Throw Satan out. Cancel Satan. He's not your best lawyer. Amen. So Satan was always trying to help me out. Jim, clean up your act. And the minute he tempted me, he accused me. Sometimes, did you ever hire a lawyer and he actually turned against you?
Yes.
You don't know anything. You don't know how lawyers, all they're interested in is money. I don't care if they're your best friend. I mean, they're also trying to make money.
Yep.
That's it. And once you give them any kind of power at all, they're very friendly until they get that, the meter turns on.
Uh-huh.
Now it's, you know, $150, $200 an hour or whatever. And it just goes, and it doesn't matter that they're lying. It doesn't matter that they only did, you know, 15 minutes and took it off the internet or something. They don't care. But your charge, though, is 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 or whatever they need to get to pay the bills.
Exactly.
Pay for their mistresses or whatever. You know, you just don't understand. Nobody's on your side. If God be for you, then who can be against you? But if you got man on your side, man, you're finished. I don't trust people. Put your trust in no man. I don't know. That seems kind of clear to me. Put your trust in no man. That means no man. Not different here being a pastor, you can trust me. But other than me, you should not trust anybody. But you can have perfect trust in me. Peggy's tried it. Look how happy she is. See how well that worked out.
Yeah.
Do y'all see that? How many here are men? Thank you. That's very good. See, men are clever. Well, you're not reliable. You're not reliable. What's your wife? Well, really? How cool. That's neat. What a great husband. Well, you're a wonderful husband. Let your wife go like that.
Yeah.
Unattended. I love it. All right. Now, on account of it, behooves us more abundantly to give heed to the things heard. This thing of giving heed is very interesting. Pros echo. Pros echo means to pay attention to. It's necessary, de'i. It's necessary, it behooves us. It's necessary because of these last days speaking through Jesus for us who have heard not to neglect the great salvation that he's provided for us. Here's the salvation, right here. There's no salvation over here. You can't make it over here because you can't qualify. But it behooves us who believe in Jesus, it behooves us to listen to every word. Because it isn't just repent. It isn't just believe. It's also obey, which you can do easily when Christ in you is doing it. You see, I am a good pastor. Let's just all say that. Pastor Jim is a good pastor.
Pastor Jim is a great pastor.
The reason I am is because I'm not, apart from him.
I know. Baby.
But in him, all he has to do is kill me. When he kills me, then I say his words and do his deeds. But as long as I'm alive, I'll try to get a little for myself. Amen? I will. I'll sneak a little glory. Lord, I think I was humble today, which I'm gloriously proud of. I'll just do it. You cannot even imagine a day where you wouldn't try to take glory. There's no possibility. There's no possibility. Peg's already ticked, but you know, get a hold of this. She likes me to be humble. But you know what? I'm not working on that. I'm not a left-hander. I'm on the right hand. I'm totally on the right hand. This is so powerful. Why? Because you know what it said in the first chapter? It said that he has already paid for, propitiated, he's already taken care of all our sins. All. He's paid for that, and it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to bring you home to himself and line you up perfectly with himself, which you cannot do. You cannot do it. And so, why neglect now this great salvation, since it's not up to this little stone to get next to this, but it's up to this stone to come down and get next to you? So, God sent this stone into the world to call me to himself. Jim, get over here. Jim, get over here. Then I brought it all around. And he said, Jim, get over here, get over here. I can't force you now. Just come by my word. I don't want to. Jim, get over here. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Yeah. Jim, bad little boy. Get over here, get over here. Get over here. And he comes and gets me and hugs me. You see, he says, leave me alone, Jesus. He won't do it. He's after you. Does anybody notice that?
Yeah.
Because he wants to bless you. Now, he won't force himself. But he'll tickle you, maybe, or something like that. Just, get over here, you little stinker. And he loves you. Did you know that Jesus loves you?
Yes.
I tell you, if you ever got that down, you'd be free forever. Mm-hmm. You'd be free forever. Forever. You don't need to get anything else down that God loves you. Unconditionally. No condition. No condition. Jim. Do you promise if I love you that you will behave yourself? See, no condition. Not promising. Do you promise you won't sin anymore after this? I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to promise. Do you promise? I'm not promising anything. I'm not a promise keeper. I'm a promise breaker. I could promise him anything, but it'd just be a joke. Right? Amen. I don't keep my promises. Let God be true and every man a liar. So the only thing that I do is just believe that he didn't lie. I'm not going to believe I don't. I'm not able to stabilize, keep myself, maintain myself, right? Anybody? I know there's a lot of words in the Bible. I don't care how you read the Bible. That's your decision. You want to read the Bible the way you want to read it? Read it the way you want to read it. I read it where it's all good news. I make everything come out good news. Jim, do nothing. I'll do everything. I love that Bible. I have my own Bible, Jim's Bible, and it said, God loves Jim. Every page I read, God loves Jim. I just read it. And I force it, even if it doesn't say that, I force it to say, God loves Jim. You see that? No matter what it says, I got this down. I got this out of there, and so I just keep sticking to it. I won't move from it. I'll never get the bad news. I'll always get it so it's good news for me. Let's say I was mad at God. I would think that was good news. I'd think that's good. It's okay. It doesn't change a thing. It doesn't change him at all. My sin doesn't make God mad.
Amen.
God is not ticked off at me for sinning. It's just like having a child and they just do the wrong thing. It doesn't make God mad. The only thing that God cares about is that you don't get mad when you do bad. That's all he cares about. Jim. You know we still have a relationship. We don't have any fellowship right now because you're messing around. But we have a lot of relationship. Don't worry. It's up to me, the parent, to chasten the child. So he'll get me. Jim, I'm going to have to kill you. Okay, do I have to agree to that? No. No, you don't have to agree to it. But I won't do it against your will. Well, that's kind of like agreeing. Jim, don't argue with me. Don't worry about it. Don't think so much. You think too much. I just want to bless you. Okay, well, go ahead and do it, but don't show me what you're doing because I might try to stop it. He said, Jim, you don't have any power. You have no power at all. You're powerless. I'm not. How many know that God has the last word on any subject? He always wins. The guy wins every single time. I cannot discuss anything with him because he's always right. I'm always wrong. I'm never going to be right. The only thing that he'll ever say is, Jim, when you agree with me, you'll be right.
Amen.
But you always have to agree with me. That's amazing. Because my brain doesn't agree with God so many times. God, I don't know if you've thought of this or not. Because he has a little suggestion box. I'll put those in. God, I'm just trying to help you. You don't seem to understand people that much. Let me just help you. And God doesn't ever look at my suggestion box. You see that? Jim, all I want you to do is praise me, thank me, adore me, period. That's it. You understand that? But Jim, you don't look like you're thanking right now, or praising, or adoring. I know. He doesn't care. He likes me anyway. He's not going to change. Just because I sin doesn't make him change. My sin doesn't cause him to sin. I can't make him lie because I lie. But because he tells the truth, I could then tell the truth. And the truth is Jesus. So he set it up so that that truth, which is the salt of the earth, my doctrine, it starts out, Savior, first thing he does is expose me as completely wrong in every category. That's the first thing. Second thing he does is say, Jim, now I want you to believe on me. Repent of that, and then believe on me. And then third of all, I'll work this through you too. So he's making an offer. I won't count this because Jesus will be your son. I will count this because all I want you to do is believe that I'll do it all. And then I'll do this so that you'll know and you'll be convicted. Because here I'm hearing, here I'm seeing. Here I'm hearing, here I'm seeing. Now, when I'm hearing him, that's the salt, then I'm going to see the light. When I'm hearing him forgiving me, then I'm going to see the light. So if you see me loving Peggy, has anybody ever seen that? Just caught a little glimpse of that. Well, you see that. Well, you haven't seen it? Well, that's because you're too busy on your own stupid sins, you see. Because you should notice what a loving husband I am. Amen? Of course, it's invisible to most people. But every once in a while, someone can see it. Ah, what a darling husband. And even Peggy, every once in a while, she'll just look over and think, I love him. She just had him accepted, of course. But still, she did look over with tenderness. I'm so glad I married Dave. It's so rare that we write them down. We actually have four now. Oh, do y'all see it? Do y'all see it? Get out from under the law. Why? Because the law is not where you belong. You're out of order. Anybody over here is out of order. This is the right order, right here. This is the order, right here. Let God do all this. In God's kingdom, only God acts. I'm going to say it again, because you may not have heard me. In God's kingdom, nobody acts, not even Jesus. Jesus does not act. Good teacher, why do you call me good? None is good but God. The works that I do, I don't do. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. I don't do. I do what he do. I see what he see. I say what he say. That's it. You see, Jesus didn't even exist. Jesus was a trustee of his Father, and he never said his own words, did his own deeds, thought his own thoughts, felt his own feelings. He did everything the Father said. And that's why the Father said, I give you a name above all names. You're not only son of God, but you're also son of man. You will now be the judge of the whole earth. Did you know that all things are made subject to Jesus? Everything. Even the wicked. Even Satan. Everything is subject to Jesus. So when Jesus went home, he's not only our Lord, because we're rightly related to him by faith. He's not only our Lord, but he's also the Lord of the whole earth. He's the Lord over Caesar. He's the Lord over everything. He sees every ill thing. And God has committed all judgment. Remember when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I got it all in the heavens. I got it all on earth. My Father gave me this job. I didn't take it. I didn't take the job. He gave it to me. He said, from now on, I want equity to rule, not law. No more law. It's all going to be equity. So the only sin now is not over here. It's over here. The only sin here is not believing that God is good. That's the only sin. The only sin over here, the sin is disobeying. Over here, it's unbelieving. So now the only sin is you can commit adultery, you can lie and cheat and steal, you can do it secretly or openly, you can do anything you want to do. You will not go to hell because of that. You'll go to hell because you did not believe that God was good. And you didn't know that believing that God was good would produce all kinds of wondrous things, none of which will get you into heaven. The only thing that got you into heaven is that you believe that Jesus was good for you. You believe that Jesus was good for you, in you, through you, that Jesus was everything, and you're happy for the rest of your life and for all eternity.